This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And welcome to In Focus. Brady Bowman in the studio with you here at News Radio KMAN 907 on a Wednesday. It's already Wednesday. That's one good thing about a long holiday weekend is the rest of the week is short. And we are in for a treat today, ladies and gentlemen. We got Assistant Professor of Political Science at K-State, Dr. Nate Burkhead.
Morning.
Dr. Burkhead or Dr. Nate or however you want to go about that. Welcome.
Dr. Nate's terrible. Yeah, we'll go with call me Nate.
Any questions, comments, concerns for Nate, 785-537-1350. And I hope you got a lot of questions, and you should, because we'll have Nate here for the whole hour, and we're going to talk politics at the state level, federal level, you kind of name it. And Nate, really, where do we even start right now? I'll let you lead that chart.
Well, there is a lot going on. We can sort of talk briefly about stuff at the state level and then kind of look up to the national. So last night we saw the Senate pass, kind of really after a lot of debate, pass a tax reform bill that then got immediately voted down by the House, which just shows how many different coalitions there are for reforms for the tax policies in the legislature. It's a really unstable group of people who, you know, there's a lot of they recognize that they need to do something, but and exactly what they can do to overcome a likely veto by the governor is a pretty tough issue. And so what we're likely to see is just that this will continue on. Like, this is going to go on a little bit longer and longer.
And we're already in overtime right now.
We're already overtime right now. I think that, you know, it's important to point out that there's a report last week by I think it's out of Wichita that showed that, you know, it's $44,000 a day that they're roughly spending for every additional day that they're in session. I think relative to the almost $1 billion budget gap that we're facing, I think that that's kind of peanuts. And I think we kind of focus a little bit too much on that and not enough on sort of keeping our eye on the ball. But the important thing to know is that the more impatient the legislature gets, the more they kind of just, look, we have to do something. We need to find some compromise. The closer that policy is likely to be to what Governor Brownback wants instead. That the more patient the legislature is, the more likely they are to get the outcome that they prefer. But right now, sort of given the different coalitions that we're seeing between the moderate Republicans, the conservative Republicans, and the Democrats, and the fact that you can't really seem to cobble together a stable coalition, that seems to mean that I think that by the end of the day, we're going to find a policy that sort of that Brownback pretty much likes.
And this would be... Really, we're getting kind of used to this atmosphere at this time of the year. The last 3 years, I think, it's kind of been this way where there's been major policy issues that they've tried to pass through with a lot of pressure on them. Twice out of the 3 years now, that pressure has been from the state Supreme Court, and that's the same here. What parallels do you see it as kind of same-o's compared to those other 2 years, or is it this year seem like even more contentious than maybe even those previous years?
Yeah, this year is interesting because, yeah, the pressure from the state Supreme Court seems to be a bit more modest now than it was last year, right? Like, last year we were looking at an almost certain school shutdown, right, which would just be sort of catastrophic. Whereas now, you know, the state Supreme Court has been a lot more flexible in the parameters that they've set out for the legislature to suit, which makes that sort of the gun behind that door a little bit less threatening. What's different now is, of course, that we're after the election, where a lot of conservative Republicans lost in the primaries to more moderate Republicans, and then some Democrats picked up seats as well. And so the pressure now is not so much from the state Supreme Court threatening to shut down the schools. The pressure now is from a lot of constituents who sort of are feeling that, you know, hey, we put you in this position now to actually try to moderate these policies, and so that's a much more diffuse threat. And something that's a lot less certain. And so I think that that's probably what we're seeing legislators really kind of grapple with, trying to figure out what to do.
And on cases where they have kind of come together for some more moderate policies, Medicaid expansion was one, which I don't know if you can call that necessarily. I guess it depends on your perspective if that's a moderate policy or not. In my opinion, it is. But that was met with a veto pen and I believe a tax bill. Before
was right, yep.
the income tax rollbacks was about the veto pen. Yep. So you think there's a big worry with that, with this legislature, that even though it seems like they can come together on a few things that a lot of voters put them in to do, when it gets to the governor's desk, it doesn't really matter at that point.
Yeah. Here in Kansas, it takes a supermajority to override a veto. So you don't just need a simple majority. You don't need 50% plus one to support a bill to get past the governor's veto. You need a supermajority. And right now, there's a lot of folks on both sides of the aisle who are wanting to sort of repeal some of the stuff that was passed in 2012. But as you pointed out, Governor Brownback is able to veto those, and we don't have the votes. They don't have the votes to overturn that. So you pointed out something that's important. Like, elections matter, right? Elections mattered in 2016 when there was a sort of the turnover, sort of the shift in the balance of power. But the other election that matters is 2014 when Governor Brownback won. And so, you know, he campaigned on this. Like, he did not, there was no smoke and mirrors in his campaign, right? He campaigned on protecting these tax cuts and the rest of it. And voters put him in place for it. And so there's a set of competing claims between the legislators who say, hey, I was put in place to sort of roll back some of these. And then Governor Brownback can come back and say, with equally sort of plausible numbers, it's like, well, I won in 2014 campaigning on this. I'm doing what the voters put me in place to do. So I think some of the responsibility lies back on the voters I think we're kind of being inconsistent in the way that the messages that we're sending to Topeka. And I think that, you know, voters need to be more thoughtful. I'm not sure if they needed to be more thoughtful in 2014 or they needed to be more thoughtful in 2016. But somewhere along the way, the voters needed to be more thoughtful in exactly what they wanted.
You're with Assistant Professor of Political Science at K-State, Dr. Nate Burkhead. If you're just joining us, if you have any questions or comments, concerns, for Nate, I guarantee you he can do a pretty good job of answering them. 785-537-1350 is the number to call. And going back to the Governor Nate, there's been another uptick in the rumor mill about him making that trip to Rome and taking a position in the Trump administration. You hearing any more about those wheels turning any faster than they've been? Because this happened in February, too. They were talking about that. Nothing really came out of that.
Yeah. I'll leave the sort of the rumor mills to you guys. That's
No, we don't do rumors here. Strict news.
Strict news,
that's
yeah.
That's what we try to do.
I do strict analysis. I call balls and strikes. I think that I would expect that Governor Brownback would very much like to stick around as long as possible here in the state of Kansas to make sure that the policies that he put into place don't get overturned sort of more or less on what could be described as his watch. I would expect that he's at a minimum going to stick around as long as he sort of can, just to make sure that any of these any sort of this motion towards reforming the tax policies can get protected as far as he's concerned.
And we do have a phone call. Caller, you are on In Focus.
Well, we're seeing all the money that Colorado's got stacked up from their sin tax on marijuana, and seeing how many of the kids are using it, and the students over K-State are using it, and the percentage of people over the age of 63 are using the marijuana. What can we do about getting into the funding here in Kansas so we don't have these arguments about what to do with the money? You know, when they decide they're going to spend $900,000 to remodel the governor's jet, here we go.
Yeah, that's a good question. There are a lot of possible revenue streams that we're not necessarily taking advantage of. Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, a lot of states are pushing sort of towards more legalization of marijuana, and particularly recreational marijuana. It doesn't seem like that constituency is here. The possibility of capturing that revenue by the state is certainly there. But I can't imagine that sort of being a palatable sort of solution for a lot of the Kansas voters. Nonetheless, things can change. And Pennsylvania is a pretty Pennsylvania may be a Democratic state generally, but Pennsylvania is a conservative state in a lot of respects, a lot like Appalachia and parts of Ohio and West Virginia, Kentucky, and the rest. And they passed a medical marijuana reform bill and sort of chipping away at that a little bit. Ultimately, I think it just requires more people like this caller here who, if they want that, then they need to articulate that. The problem is for those proponents is that it takes a lot of work to pass something. It takes a lot of work to really change policies. And it's pretty easy for opponents of that. So people who prefer the status quo, people who just prefer the tax policies as they are today, or sort of, you know, what's legal and what's not today, it's pretty easy for them to just kill those reform efforts.
All right, we got another caller. Caller, you are on In Focus. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Eric. I've called in here and said this before, but, you know, they're always talking about tax, 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 but nobody's talking about cut their spending. if they just cut their spending, you know, that would help the problem, you know, but nobody's ever talking about that. Yeah, they're cutting this a little bit here, a little bit there, but, you know, let's just go to the root of the problem. Cut their spending, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, we hear that a lot. So yeah, as we said before, I'm a university professor, and they've been cutting a lot of things that actually in our university, in my department. So for example, I don't have an office phone anymore. So if you want to reach me, you have to contact me by email. I do not have a phone, and we had to sacrifice those because of budget cuts. And so I think that it's a very popular thing to do to talk about is to say we need to cut spending. But once we actually start looking at areas where to cut spending, it gets a lot more complicated really quickly.
Not even a cell phone? They don't give you a cell phone?
I have my personal cell phone, but right. I get absolute, but no, yeah, no, I don't have, like, if you need to contact me via phone, you can call the main office in my department. And then they can take a message, and then I can either call you on my personal cell phone that I pay for with my expense, or I can try to call you back from the department line. But that's going to be in the department, and I share that with you know, 18 other colleagues.
You'd think K-State could get a pretty good, like, family plan or something.
You would think so.
Especially the whole family thing that we're going with. That's a no-brainer.
You would think it's a no-brainer. Unfortunately, AT&T and Verizon, I guess, not really so supportive of the K-State family.
You can take that idea back to them. You can say that you got that from K-Man.
That's right. But what the caller is pointing to is, you know, obviously there's two sides of the ledger, spending and revenue. But since 2012, we've cut spending consistently year after year after year, pretty dramatic fashion. We nonetheless are still not balancing the budget, and that's for the simple reason that spending alone is not sufficient. Like, we've cut down to the bone. I can't speak for other departments, I can't speak for other agencies, but I can speak for the university, and we've really cut down to the bone pretty dramatically. We've had to raise tuition to offset those cuts. And what that's doing is that's actually penalizing students who want to come to the university. And actually now we're seeing enrollment numbers drop in part because the tuition is increased. And so if we want to have a strong university and a strong university system in the state, we need education funding as well.
All right, let's go ahead and go to our first break. And we're just getting started here. We got Dr. Nate Burkhead with K-State for the whole hour. We'll be back with them.
Your KMAN Morning Show has been brought to you by your locally owned Merry Maids. A clean that measures up. Relax, it's done.